extra, extra, extra hour minutes.
I know you are pressed for time, Commission. If the slides don't have introductions, and the time we're making introductions, you will not hear. And I was reliably informed that you were new. Some of them didn't want you to come to this meeting. But I said to them, all of us are new. If we are going to the meeting, also, even yourself, you must come. What you need is the technical team to support you. And then I told them they must use the 2 days, isn't that started on the 1st, to brief you so that you are ready for Parliament, Professor. And I hope you are ready for Parliament now. Okay, you can quickly deal with the introduction of your entire delegation, Prof. Do the opening remarks and you tell us who's going to do what. We know you are pressed for time. In future, we are going to give you ample time. We'll start with you. We know there are very serious pressing matters that you are confronted with on a daily basis.
Thank you so much, Chair. And first, it is important to congratulate you and the members of the portfolio committee for the high responsibility according to you to lead this portfolio committee. And we hope that in future we will engage quite meaningfully in order to address core issues that are affecting our people, especially matters of CRML. I have with me 4 members. On my left is the Deputy Chair, Dr. Mamuhapi, Sylvia Mamuhapi Peter. So she is here today, and she's appearing with me for the first time. On my right, I have the CEO, Mr. Edward Butler. And over there is our CFO, Mr. Cornelius Smart.
Cornelian,
smart. Yes. The chairperson, we started only on Monday.
Yes.
And as we entered the office, we received a letter. And we felt it important to honor it.
It's a going concern, remember?
Yes,
it's a going concern.
Since we're a new commission, and the team that has been appointed, they are 13 in number, and they bring diverse skills to the commission. What we will be presenting to you may not be comprehensive in the sense that we are going to have our induction tomorrow, today. On the 23rd to the 23rd, to the 25th, we will have our strategic plan with the entire team, so that we have a sense of where members are with regard to some of the issues that the previous commission was faced with.
Okay.
First, let me just share with you our vision. It's not going to be long. Our vision really is to ensure that we have mutual respect among diverse cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. And when you talk about Buani, you talk about Namalable, part of it. But the second, the mission really is to foster rights of communities to freely observe and practice their culture, religion, and language. In this, and of course, in the Constitution says the role of the commission really is to try to assist in building a truly South African nation bound by loyalty to the country and to all of us. So that loyalty can only come when the 3 key areas of our existence, namely culture, religion, and language, find expression in our totality of human experience. If that finds expression, it will happen. We then identify the few values. Let me just integrity is one. The second one, which is often not identified as a value, is consciousness management. It must become a value.
Yes.
Because if it becomes a cooperative way, it ceases to assist in whatever we do. Of course, we added that which I don't think any committee has added.
Yes.
The 3 important cardinal things, yes, that what we call virtues. Above values, we have got virtues. The virtue of selflessness, the virtue of service, the virtues of sacrifice. If you have people who embody these values, extrapolated from their value system, you have a different human being. You have a different character of human being. Which is why, as a commission, we focus on this because it is the only way when people begin to think more of others, not of themselves, that you have a selfless community. Now, we have got specific goals that are just to enumerate them. We are looking into strengthening and empowering communities. Because when communities are able to defend their own rights, then you think we have arrived. Appropriation of CRL rights in law. The issue we confront is that in our legal system, in the rural area, you find in a court, the lawyer is black, the magistrate is black, the accused is black, but the language they use there,
English.
In other words, the law does not reach the people, so we need to make sure that the equitable use of the language, the what we call official languages, in our system. So we also talk about cultivate and promote organizational efficiency, which is about CRL as a body. Of course, we build social cohesion and nation building, and of course, development of communities historically diminished and diminishing heritage. And of course, our use of how we approach young people. Today, they use social media and all sorts of things. How do we reach young people to be aware and to respect our diversity and to participate in shaping a diverse community? And these are the key occupations that we have as CRL. Now I'll hand over to the
CEO.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. The vision and mission that the Chairperson is sharing with the committee is supported by the legislation that actually establishes the commission, which is the 19th of 2002, but also the spirit in which the Chairperson was giving the introduction in terms of selfless service and protection. It is also shared by the Constitution, especially Chapter 2 of the Bill of Rights. So this short presentation that we are going to make, it will cover the mandate and functions. It will give the overview of some projects that we have done, and then highlight the 10 projects for 2019-20. Then we will talk to the finances that support this work. The Constitution and the Act 19 of 2002 mandates the Commission to promote respect for the rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. That is done to promote and develop peace, friendship, humanity, tolerance, and national unity among cultural, religious, and linguistic communities on the basis of equality, non-discrimination, and free association. As the Chairperson highlighted in the introduction, some of the issues that we were raising here at the committee in the morning, the tensions that prevail within our communities through the demarcations and so on and so forth. It is to an extent the responsibility of this commission to educate these communities that although we are different, we are one nation, we need to coexist, we should live together. And we have a case that we have done in the past. In the case of Malamulele, and one, the commission intervened. Actually, the first time that they seized the strike, the commission was there. We had engaged Tulamela municipality, the mayor then, and the task team at Malamulele to try and find a way in which we can calm them down to say, let us separate issues from tribalism and so on. So that we can be able to live together as a country, because that's the vision of the Constitution of the Republic. The Commission has the power to achieve its primary object, including the power, the slides I'm sure they are moving, including the power to monitor, to investigate. Now, when we talk the issues of monitoring, in many ways, we monitor the legislation, as we are giving an example of the court, just to make sure that our legislations are cultural, religious, or linguistic sensitive in whatever formation or issue that they are trying to address. We do investigations, we research, and we educate, as I alluded to earlier on, and then we lobby and advise all organs of state, including this committee and parliament, on certain issues that are of national interest, that are related to issues of culture, religion, and language. The power to facilitate the resolution of friction between and within cultural, religious, and linguistic communities, as we have given the example of Buan and Manamle. The power to promote the right of communities to develop their historically diminished heritage, and also to foster mutual respect among cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. There are those communities like your Khoisan communities that are resuscitating their heritage and so on and so forth. It is the duty of this commission to extend a hand and assist them to rebuild those heritages that have been diminished because of the circumstances that were outside their control. We have the commission has that, to make recommendations to the appropriate organ of state regarding legislation that impacts or may impact on rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. That's the point I have mentioned. And we've been playing this role. We remember just recently the Khoisan traditional bill. We were called by the portfolio committee here to come and share our view on the bill, and we made submissions so that you know they can take that into consideration. The issue of the initiation bill, and we also participated, gave the input to the department so that they can be able to be incorporated to the bill that was to be passed in parliament. So that is our responsibility. Bring any relevant matter to the attention of appropriate authority organ of state. And where appropriate, that is very, very critical for members to note, and where appropriate, make recommendations to such authority or organ of state in dealing with such a matter. So we do have a leeway of giving a direction, a suggestion on how you can deal with the matter that we are raising, that we think needs attention, the matter that is related to culture, religion, and language. The CRRI Commission is now starting the completed project so that we can pick it up. The CRRI Commission started the investigations of deaths in initiation schools, and the investigations were completed and the report was compiled. I think this report will still change with the committee members just to so that we can know how far we have done our work in terms of this issue. The investigations were conducted nationally, focusing on provinces which were affected by this practice. So just to share some few recommendations that were made in this report. The communities should set up traditional initiation leadership structures that would oversee initiation schools, because we think that it looks like communities are not necessarily involved in their understanding of how initiation schools are supposed to be run and facilitated within their own vicinity. So we suggested that it would be better if these communities could be able to set up traditional initiation leadership structures that would provide oversight. Such structures could also serve as a support system and help the police to root out criminality, because it was becoming a bit of a challenge for the police to control in some other areas like Bizana when we were doing this research. That's why we came up to recommend this, but also in Gauteng, where you know, people have taken over this practice to gangsterism and so on and so forth. So we're trying to enforce that. Practice guidelines should be developed to specify what should and should not be done in establishing an initiation school, including support infrastructure, that this was coming out of mainly in housing, where you find that these institution schools sometimes are conducted almost next to the N1 road, or you know, where somebody can simply shout and greet and pass when he sees somebody that is familiar with attending this school. Traditional surgeons, traditional nurses and principals should be trained. We recommended that it would be better if they are registered and accredited, and their competencies be regularly evaluated by a relevant accreditation body. Because the challenge is, anybody, anywhere can just start this initiation schools. And some of us who historically were part of this thing, we know that this thing were not done by anybody. There are people who, and families that, especially among the Ravenna people, that were only designated to do this thing. But in other areas, we find that anybody does do this thing, and that is a risk to the health and the lives of this young boy. The national legislation should allow for age limits to be determined by each province. This is one recommendation that we've made, because if you check, Eastern Cape has got its own age limit. When you go to the Limpopo, it has got its own age limit. And we're saying that the national legislation should give a space for those provinces to determine their age limit. Of course, the Children's Act 38 of 2005 should also be amended as such. Those are some of the recommendations that we have made. And number three was, parental guardian informed consent of all underage boys should be given in writing before they enter an initiation. Because people were like just hijacking this boy without any consent from the parents, and the parents would not know where the children are, and that gives, you know, creates a risk in terms of their health and protection and so on and so forth. They are opened up for abuse by older boys. Traditional councils and municipalities should register all initiation activities taking place in their area. We wish we could have mentioned this when Prada was also here, because that can actually assist to know, you know, where these schools are and so on and so forth. Because some municipalities couldn't give a record in terms of who is doing what where in terms of this initiation schools, especially when it comes to the intake case. So traditional councils and municipalities should designate areas where Ularuko, for Mondivolo, Mopato should be set up, taking into consideration the necessary infrastructure, clean water, cultural sensitivity, and so on and so forth. So we were suggesting that because some of the municipalities, some of the children were dying out of dehydration and so on and so forth. So we thought perhaps the municipalities should take over that responsibility to assist where, you know, they've got lack of these things that was mentioned here. Prospective initiatives should go through a series of prescribed medical checkups and immunization before they undergo initiation. We thought it would be better, because sometimes to admit a child who is sick and you don't know when the child died in that school, it is said that it is because of the practices of the school, yet the child came to this school sick. So number 10 is medical and psychosocial support should be provided to all concerned in the case of both circumcision, penal amputations, or death of an initiate. This is out of the experience, especially in the Eastern Cape, where we were confronted with young boys who couldn't raise the 50,000 rand that was needed here by a particular doctor here in Western Cape to assist in this process. So we thought it would be better if you know, the Department of Health can also chip in to assist these young people, because it is their pride that needs to be restored. 11, further research on penile transplants should be supported by the Department of Health with the aim of mainstreaming this service to all young men who have penile applications like us. Further research in partnership with other research institutions and institutions of higher learning should be done on the issue of female initiation. This recommendation is coming mainly from the Tshwane district municipality, where when we asked them questions as to, they were giving us a scenario where when they conduct these initiation schools, there's a situation where boys and girls are mixed. and no one is able to tell exactly what happened there when they are missing. And we suspected a lot of abuse in the process, and we then recommended that it would be better that we do further research to understand what is involved in the female initiation and the whole process of making them meet to, mix with boys towards the end of this. And they were saying that sometimes they would stay there for some months together, and we felt it could be a problem. There should be a special focus on the protection of initiates coming from single female headed households, because these boys are hijacked, and because the houses are only owned by females, they've got no say to this initiation. So they are like undermined, and that creates a problem because their children are not well taken care of while they're at the initiation schools. Some examples of the projects that we did in the past, just to share with the committee. We do have a report on Ukutwana. The issue here is that, and we are saying to ourselves that that is a criminal activity and those people need to be arrested. But when we did our research on Ukutwana, especially in the same case and KZS, we found that actually people are using this practice to kidnap people. Yet it is not the original practice of Ukutwana. Because Ukutwana is a negotiation between the two adults that says we should be able to move from point A to point B and stay together, because perhaps, according to the challenges that we have, financial constraints, the husband is unable to pay for the lady to go and open some hard, you know, it's a pain of honor. And we thought we should be able to separate the two. And we think the deputy minister, Vapela, he really spoke on this and supported the commission on this position in the media in the past. And the message was sent together with the chairperson of the House, Mr. Matang Koshma Matang. We also dealt with the issue of recycling of grain. This is an issue that is ongoing, especially when it comes to KZN and other areas. It's a problem, this issue of recycling of grain, according to our investigation, because to some African people, a grave is a place of worship, like anybody going to a church. You will check, even if, when Easter comes, when other people are going to church, other people are going to the grave. And they are going to clean them and doing whatever they are doing and talk to their own people and so on and so forth. So when there's this recycling of graves and you are burying one or two people in one grave, there's a problem because those people, when they go there, they are unable to communicate with their own people. They find strangers there. So the issue of Ukutolo, in the KZN, we did our investigations and we felt this subject needs to be supported and protected by the commission and all of us as Africans, because it does not have the abusive element that people think it has. I just mentioned on number four, the National Conservative Conference that we just had now in 2019, purposely mentioning it because this report will be shared with the committee in the future. We have the report, it's just that it needs to be considered by the commission from tomorrow and Friday, because they just came in, and then we can distribute this report. The issue of albinism and killing people living with albinism for the multi cases and so on and so forth. We ran lots of campaigns to an extent that we even went to Jozini, where the pastor was arrested there for killing these kind of people for multi purposes, to sensitize the community there. Inglaber and witchcraft, these are the issues that we've worked on as a commission. So the commission managed to complete and table its report on commercialization of religion and abuse of people's rights in the parliament. I had during that time chairperson, one of the members saying that is this that commission of the churches. I think it's because of this report. And this report will still be shared with the members for them to be informed, because it was shared with the previous committee, but perhaps for continuity, just for you to know what happened, we will still share it with the members. The right of And I must say that in terms of our process, we're finished with this report because we were supposed to just give the recommendations and then the relevant stakeholders will pick them and up and use them. But this is still going to be considered through the resolutions of the National Conservative Conference that we just had recently by our commission to say what would be the direction to conclude this matter. So it's a matter that we can still talk to when we come back to the portfolio committee. The right of access to ancestral graves investigation project was completed as well. Quickly going to the identified critical pressure points, which are the projects that we intend to implement in the current financial year. We will continue with religious awareness campaigns for the promotion and protection of the religious rights of communities. Because of the gaps that we identified when we were dealing with the commercialization of religion and abuse of people's belief systems, we found a lot of gaps. We feel we need to educate this community so that they are able to understand their religious rights. The purpose is to promote awareness and sensitize communities of their religious rights. This will assist religious communities and members not to be victims of abusive threats within the sector. Capacity building to foster tolerance, peace, humanity, friendship, national unity, even amongst cultural, religious and domestic communities will continue. The purpose is to promote social cohesion and coexistence, as we've mentioned, in other areas where communities fight against each other. We will continue with dialogues with young people. From the cultural, religious and domestic communities, dialogues with young people from the cultural, religious and domestic communities will be pursued to raise consciousness on their cultural, religious and language identity that eventually defines their future. This is because we realize that if we don't do that, many of our young people, they lose ground for their values and their morals, and they do not associate themselves with the communities that they come from, their cultures, and so on and so forth. So we want to sensitize them, but in the process, trying to rebuild the values and the morals that we would want to see as a country. Capacity building on alternative dispute resolution for cultural, religious, and domestic communities ensures to foster tolerance, to diffuse tensions created by culture, religion, and language in our community. As a way of contributing towards building one South African nation, that's a common identity for our nation. The Commission will also develop guidelines of equitable utilization of all official languages. The chairperson touched that at the beginning. At the same time, the Commission will use the same guidelines to assess different stakeholders in terms of how these languages impacted cultural, religious, and linguistic communities in the past 25 years. So it's a self-introspection in terms of language. This will assist the Commission to generate the language status report that will be used to bridge national language policy gaps. This report will come up with recommendations that will be shared even with the relevant stakeholders. The language status report will also assist the Commission in making recommendations to the relevant organs of state for policy considerations and direction to be taken in relation to languages. The report will also provide the Commission with an opportunity to identify which other diminished and diminishing languages will need to be promoted and protected, mostly from disadvantaged communities in our country. I'm sure, Chairperson, you'll recall, I think it was during Human Rights Day when the President mentioned some languages that need to be promoted and protected. This is to be mentioned. I mentioned, such kind of languages. And they had requested our input from there, and we have given them back input, and we were happy that the motion came out. So we'll continue to make sure that we promote and protect these languages. Of critical importance is the enforcement that the Commission will seek to achieve in the implementation of these language guidelines and recommendations that will come out of this report. As we continue with the identifying critical pressure points, we will review and consolidate the research work on the Khoisan language, culture and religion. We started some work in the past financial year, which will continue on the Khoisan language, culture and religion. Meaning of religious signs and symbols of different religions in the country. The headscarf thing is also making us to begin to think broadly, but of course within the mandate of the commission. So we want to embark on this project so that we understand the meaning of religious signs and symbols of different religions in the country. So that, you know, we should not take it for granted that when you dress in a certain way, with a religious tattoo, it could be a way of identifying yourself and separating yourself from the other people, but not a religious tattoo. So we want to get down and understand all these religious symbols and signs from different religions. Focus on the resolution of conflicts within and amongst cultural, religious, and religious communities, or between any such community and an organ of state will still continue. The commission will continue to establish and support cultural, religious and linguistic cultures. In terms of the F-19 of 2002, we are required to recommend the establishment of community cultures. We have them, about 300 of them since the establishment of the commission, and we will continue doing that so that we give them support, because we view this community culture as a vehicle for the promotion and protection of cultural, religious and language rights in their local community. I'm trying to fix some few things. Okay, the commission will continue to undertake research on cultural, religious and linguistic and related topics of national interest, like I've given the example of topics there. The recommendations from this report will also be tabled to organs of state to assist in shaping policy direction. I'm almost done, Chairperson.
Okay. Otherwise, you're going to miss your flight.
Yes, I'm going to request the CFO to just talk to the finance flight, the two of them, then I'll come in on the last flight and we should be done.
Afternoon, Chairperson, committee members, and Deputy Minister. From my side, it's just very concise. For 2018-19, our allocation is 45 million, and then we hope to earn interest of about 278,000. And then you can see the two outer years for the medium term framework. Staff cost for us is about 26 million of the 45 million, and 19 million is for operational expenditure, which brings you to a percentage of 57.26% for the first year in respect of staff costs. And then on the second slide, our program is structured as in the column there on the left, the office of the chairperson, which is consisting of all the costs relating to the commissioners and their claims and things like that, the office of the CEO, communication and marketing, the office of the chief financial officer, which includes all your support services, your audit fees, your lease agreements, all of those costs is included there. And then there's legal services and conflict management, and then the research policy development and public education and engagement. And then the numbers there, I don't think I need to repeat the numbers.
Just as a remark for concluding this presentation, the chairperson, the environment in which the commission operated substantially changed, and consequently the demand for commission services is high, and therefore it requires a review of financial resources allocated to the commission. That is a very, very critical change. Because what the CFO did not say is that when the commission started in 2004, although in the constitution in 1996, but the actual existence started in 2004, they were only allocated 7 million, and that 7 million was never increased. What we have now, what he's talking about, is that this increase that we get every year, targeting the inflation and so on and so forth, that what took us back to that is very important. So, we have a baseline of 7 million to operate it will take away the inflation against the climate, you know, subsidies. The Sierra Commission is not still not in a position where it has sufficient resources to establish regional offices. We are still operating from a national level, and we are about 33, supposed to serve about 56 million people in the country. So we have to be going to flying from to provinces and try to do the work, and obviously we cannot reach the very local people that communities that we are supposed to serve. And if we can be appropriately funded, we are able to then, you know, have provincial presence and serve these people at a close range. And we are saying that we know these are difficult times, but even if we can be housing some offices, but at least we must have human capital and some resources to be able to carry on the way. Okay. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Okay. Colleagues, can I please ask you to be precise? And then if your question we feel is not sufficiently answered, we'll request them to submit the written submission. Yes. Then we discuss the deadline, but yes. Honorable Opperman. Honorable Hussein, Inkosi Mthuli, Honorable Tsou, Honorable Mpumza, Honorable Mamkize, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to say up front that I'm a full second from coming from the ground of Pentecostalism. So I have a couple of questions on the report of the commercialization of religion and abuse of people's belief systems. I want to know, it was said that there will be another consultative process where there will be all-inclusive engagement of all religious bodies, and a national conference for all religious bodies was proposed to promote the freedom of religion in Africa. Has the date been set and when will they convene? Because I know the pastors are all up in arms and very anxious about that.
Okay.
Then there was the issue that the CRLC misleaded Parliament when they said that several religious organizations accepted its proposals and recommendations. Has that issue been clarified yet? The issue that the CRLC misleaded
Parliament. The second one.
The second one is that you misled Parliament. Say that your recommendation we accepted. That's
yes.
What you were saying. She took a bit fast.
Okay. And then I'm sure you heard 4FA. 4FA said that the proposed solutions were unnecessary, unconstitutional, and unworkable, and will make CRLC the head of religion in South Africa. I want to know what is your view on this. So referring to page 42 of your organogram. And I want to quote you, it says that the CRLC will be the final arbiter in all matters with final decision power. And then for if they also said that CRCL recommendations were an infringement of right to religious freedom and freedom of association. I want to know what is your opinion and your view on that. And then, because I'm all about the money, I heard that you were only allocated $45 million. So can you tell me what will the cost be in running and monitoring these regulatory structures? Thank you.
Honorable Lucy?
Okay, thank you very much. I have so much to raise, but I'm mindful of the time, and I'm hopeful that we will get some other opportunity to engage the CRL Commission. This is,
Especially on the report. You know, we'll have to have a day to that report, as Honorable Opperman is raising. Those are the issues. I'm thinking that we should then set a day aside to deal with those issues, and then so that they can also deal, and the others that are incoming now, they'll have to acquaint themselves with the report because it's a new member, that's right. Can I rule that effect to say, let's focus now on these issues that have to deal with the strategic plan. I can promise you that we'll prioritize you, like I said earlier, so that we deal with the issue of that report of the religion as well, separately, so that you come and brief us. We are new members, we're not in the previous committee. and then at least give you every time, so everybody has got interest in that report, and then the communities are waiting outside them. So it's very key, should be priority number one in our gender committee secretary. It's part of the legacy report as well, so we deal with that. Then I'm trying to intervene on a revolution so that we focus on the strategic issues. Whoever is going to talk also from the remaining members can refrain from doing that. It's a matter that we have. Okay?
No, I agree and I support you, Chairperson. And just to make this point, the only disadvantage of it, and I know that the timing is the problem, is that if this is CRL's commission plan, then the committee should have had an opportunity to be able to contribute towards that plan by sharing our experiences on the ground and where we think there are key focus areas. That they
I'm not refraining you from doing.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you. But this is not your fault or anyone's fault for that matter. It's just the timing of the way the climate parliament has turned out. So we'll get another opportunity later on to be able to help to focus on some of those issues. Chair, my one concern with this.
Before you continue also, I believe in terms of the rules of parliament, there's also an opportunity to reach the book, the threat plan and whatever. So I think we'll also utilize that window period so that we put whatever we feel is being omitted. Thank you.
Yes. That's good. Chair, can I give you one example of the point that I'm making, I want to make very quickly?
Yes.
And granted, we come from such a diverse history and a terrible past. This commission has one of the most important jobs to do in our country. And we must support it, and I would support the view that they get more resources at some point. If it's just a little thing like Facebook or social media in our country, you go on it, you see a massive division between racial communities, cultural communities, and you ask yourself, who's doing anything about this? This is a commission that actually can help us to try and foster those relationships. In the Isizulu community, for example, you have, it's very normal and part of the cultural practice, where nudity is acceptable. But you post a picture of an Isizulu wedding on Facebook, Facebook will block you for 3 weeks. You ask yourself the question, where is the respect for the cultural rights of these are the big issues that need to be dealt with. But we'll have an opportunity to be able to deal with it at some point. My concern here with this report, and this is my closing point, is that it will be very difficult for us to be able to measure the performance of this department in its annual report when it comes back to us, because of the format in the manner in which this thing has been produced. We won't be able to do our work properly and oversight to say, you had 10 plans, you completed only 8. Because this one is very vague and doesn't give you the details in terms of the other format, and that I think is
a
difficult
situation. Yes.
Thank you
very much. That's a genuine
concern.
Who's
next?
Yeah, you didn't raise your hand?
Yes.
Honorable Luke.
Yes.
Yes, it's your turn.
Oh, even
no,
I was thinking
it's... Oh, sorry. Sorry, my apologies.
Okay.
That's your hand now. If you don't
because
say something,
what I was in favor of is that there are three items out of this presentation. There's 1, 2, 3, which I'm in favor of putting to our customers.
Yes.
What normally we can say is that it's not really just to take you by force. It's not you. But it's an agreement between the boy and the dad, and then we take samples. Sometimes for certain reasons, sometimes your boyfriend, if you want to, there are some other boyfriends, and then the other one is supposed to be, and then
We are going to learn a lot. It's good that we have you
trying to.
Okay.
Only that, but
we'll have time. let's give ourselves time to deal with this issue. This commission is very critical and crucial. And it's our responsibility to make sure that it works, as Honorable Hussein has said. That's why I'm saying in future we are going to allocate time properly. And then it's good that there's a new board that has come in. Like the threat plan is Honorable Hussein has said, do you have to go, Prophet, if you are going to your retreat tomorrow, you need to rework on this document. You must come, it must be a clear plan. Even put their mission and values as an annexion. You see, it's not in line with what is required in putting a proper track plan. But we understand that the officials have to, in the absence of the commission, they had to do something and then to look at it. We understand that. At least the issue of the budget is honorable was saying, otherwise you wouldn't be getting money. Money has to be allocated for you in order to perform your work. But I think we are agreeing in principle you need to go and rework this document. It comes with clear timeline and time frames, as Honorable Hussein said, so that we must be able to measure your performance. Okay, continue, Honorable Tov.
Oh, thank you, Chairperson. Hey, I don't know, I just want to answer all these questions. My question is this. Who qualifies to open an initiation school and for the services they render, and who is monitoring them? You know, because previously when we grew up, we only knew that the initiation schools are opened by the kings and traditional leaders. But now things are happening in the townships. Who is monitoring?
Yes. Even in the cities?
Yes, in the cities. Who is monitoring them? And then kings and traditional leaders. Are they getting performance financial support from the department?
Okay.
That is my question for now.
The department is here. I'm gonna deal with even the deputy minister is here.
And lastly, the municipalities, because I saw that the municipalities some they are here. Who keeps their data for those young boys? Because wrong things are happening, and then we don't capture the data for those young boys and the very much. Again, we are asking again to have the moral regeneration. Maybe if we can, the chairperson and the education to take this moral regeneration to be part of our curriculum. I think that maybe it can guide our youth, because as of now we are having a lot of issues. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Colleagues, we must be mindful that the initiation bill has got the legacy report. It's currently serving at the NCOP. The duty about it, before it gets finalized, we'll have a bite again when it returns from the NCOP. And then also we have to then closely work with the NCOP colleagues there so that the signage, so that I think we'll have to jointly work together. These are the matters that I'm trying to also respond so that we cover time. I think the Act, though I haven't read it, should also prescribe who's authorized to do whatever. Basically, that's the intention of the law when you regulate those assets. We're still going to consider that bill as it is now and see what are the issues. But nevertheless, I think you have raised critical issues that are also suggested moving forward. They are noted. Honorable Mpumza?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I agree with some colleagues that perhaps the way this report is structured, it has to be reworked so that we're in a position to engage with it.
Chair, this report reflects the significance of the existence of this commission, because it is true language and to our culture that we were conquered. And indeed, our linguistic and cultural identity along the way has disappeared so that domination and subjection must succeed. In reversing then the process, in addressing that, it would be important that this commission has worked hard to ensure that we realize our linguistic and cultural rights. So as part of realizing our freedom. But Chair, I wanted just to raise issues around this question of on the project. I think that there's an area here which is very important, that of a dialogue. The necessity of, I think, that question of a dialogue with the young people is long overdue on their cultural and linguistic economy. Because without that dialogue in which, then it's where we actually recapture our identity from the young people. Because us, yes, we have lost our identity of them. So our medium of communication is English. And we find it very difficult, perhaps, to express ourselves, because we have to think first in our own language before actually trying to capture this language to convey the message, which is not that easy.
Chair, one issue here is that the only project that has said I've done, one around the question of Ukutwala and Ukushol. That's why I wanted to have my input. I think Nkosi has captured me on this question of Ukutwala, because my understanding, let alone that along the way, you have to agree that along the way it has been abused.
Yeah.
While initially it was good, because the question of Twala, I think the equivalent in English is where you elope with your mistress or with your friend. So that is Twala. But now it has become abused, because indeed now currently, I know that it might be different from KZN, because in the Eastern Cape in Pondelet, really old people, they actually are stampeding and raping 12-year-old girls.
Sure.
And forcefully so.
And supposed to be that lock breaking mechanism.
Yeah, it's not negotiation. It's forced marriage. In fact, it's an abuse of the young. I'm sorry to say what's abuse, whereas in its essence, it was indeed what it was not at all. So what needs to be done then is to correct the abuse, so that actually Utwala might continue to go on. The second one is this question of Musola. Now along the way, it has been abused, because now it's no longer, you are now showing the girls, you are not showing the boys. I grew up being a boy and being showed.
Yeah.
But now today, it has become sexist.
Yeah.
In the sense that you are practicing to women. What about the boys? Because in the olden days, you would do that both boys and girls. But so all you got them both. But far and
above,
Lord.
I still have one with that one.
Oh, now
I'm going to check. This was the Amutwa, you see, you know, in Jano,
what is actually saying? These young men, they are even trained how to treat girls.
Yes.
This is the culture that they are doing. They are still taking these young boys if they are not doing adult things before their age, is what it's actually saying, for the benefit of, I know Honorable Hussein speaks a lot of good lies, I suppose.
Yeah.
The last time
it was kind of you to do what you just did.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
Yes, I had to do that.
The last year was,
yeah, okay. I will always try to do that.
I think change is important that we get this language data report. Also, when I get to that language data report will be taken through, because if then the commission.
Well, my father, I hope you are noting everything.
Is investigating and going back to ensure that also diminished languages are brought up. Because in the village where I grew up, I know I am, when I go down, and they come back and wear my tribe, the Umgazi. But I grew up in a village of the Baza people. So, and they are still speaking that language, but you can't find it. So you are saying then it's the Baza and the Shobi. I think they were to go beyond being Baza and Shobi, so that to ensure that it is a self-check.
I know Mam Kizi is very passionate about this matter, but I need to suppress it and stop here. They are going for a retreat tomorrow, and I should believe we have I've contributed to them because they were earlier than Salga. What I can plead with you, whatever was raised, CEO and Chair, as you are going into the plane, you've got 2 hours in the plane, can you respond in writing? By the time we meet tomorrow, we are meeting tomorrow at 2. So at least by 12, while we are in our course office, the letter should be 11:30. Email something to our committee secretary. She will then email those responses to us so that if and when we consider the committee report at 2, we have your responses to all these things. That will assist us a great deal. I'm suppressing my 2 honorable members because of the time constraint. The DG has also raised it with me. The minister won't even, I think the minister will have a time to also address some of these issues. The deputy minister, in his budget vote, the issues that they are raised, we are giving it to him so that he can put some of the things on the budget vote, because time is a factor. I want to apologize. In future, we'll do things correctly. But like I said, we are going to prioritize you. We are going to prioritize you, so this meeting gets adjourned. I'm sorry if I'm behaving like a dictator.
No, it's fine. The next meeting of tomorrow will have more hours from us.
Yeah.
Which hour? Tomorrow
is the committee report.
I'm finding you out of here.
We must adjust the report tomorrow. From 2 o'clock.
2? Because we are debating next week Wednesday, so you can't debate on our after
time. We leave our time, so we don't make tomorrow
there is nothing. We are going after 2. Take the late flight.
Remember, we're supposed to be in the morning.
Colleagues, I must really thank you, my colleagues on the left, all of them.
They must stay.
I must thank them.
Oh, you must thank them.
For the good work that they are doing now. They see whoever is available now. My drink tea. Children have a few less minutes.
Yeah.
You can have a tea.
I'm going to go to the next one.
It's a ceremony of growing.